Chepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Vraja Bihari Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter, 71 verse, and glories of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your assertion. Hare Krishna, we are very fortunate to have you on the call Prabhu. Before I hand over the call to you, I would like to hand over the call to Vivek Prabhu to give introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All good, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for taking your time today. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Vraja Bihari Das Prabhuji from ISKCON Chowpatty. Prabhuji is a full-time monk, counselor, self-help author, lifetime coach and teacher at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in ISKCON Chowpatty. For the past two decades, he has a major's degree in economics and master's in monetary policy and international finance. He joined the Times Group after completing his MBA in finance and has wealth of corporate experience, having undertaken projects for multinational companies such as KPMG, Pitt, Marwick, and ICICI Bank. As a member of the education and training body for congregation development in ISKCON Chowpatty, Prabhuji counsels young men in the monastery and trains a satellite community of 150 families at Borivali in northern Mumbai. He shares his daily reflections, meditations, and discourses on his website, yogaformodernage.com. With over 950 plus articles on his website and over hundreds of talks on his YouTube channel, Prabhuji continues to help and guide the masses across borders through his social media. His recent release, Mind Your Mind, Three Principles for Happy Living, is a result of his daily study, writing, contemplation, and prayers over the last 20 years. In his writings, he shares different tools to help one feel loved and improve relationships with oneself and with those who matter to us. One of his works, a fiction called Cricket in a Monastery, reveals valuable life lessons from a game of cricket. He is a seasoned international speaker, having traveled and spoken in the US, Australia, UK, Germany, Russia, and other parts of Europe and Middle East. In his talks, he shares candid thoughts on mental hygiene, spiritual discipline, and finding deep emotional fulfillment. His lucid and cheerful talks connect to the audience from all walks of life, his main strength being the ability to harmonize wisdom from the Vedic era to enhance our modern lives. He often says the principles of life are simple and same everywhere. Just apply even a little and see a big difference. Thank you, Prabhuji, for taking your time. I'd like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you, everyone, for inviting me and giving an opportunity to serve all of you today. I will be speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter, text number 71. I sincerely thank you for coming together every day for chanting, for hearing Bhagavatam. This is very inspiring. And I'm also very happy that I have been given a service today of serving all of you. Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre. ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्यं ईश्वरं। नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो आई विल चैंट दिस वर्स। यस 42971 प्लीज यू कैन रेस्पॉन्ड वंस। सुप्ति मूर्चोपतापेषु
सुप्तिमूर्तो
प्राणायान विगातत नेहतेहम् इति ज्ञानम् मृत्यु प्रज्वारयोरपि ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीले श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। When the living entity is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there is some great shock on account of severe loss at the time of death, or when the body temperature is very high, the movement of the life air is arrested. At that time, the living entity loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self. Purport: foolish people deny the existence of the soul, but it is a fact that when we sleep, we forget the identity of the material body, and when we awake, we forget the identity of the subtle body. In other words, while sleeping, we forget the activities of the gross body, and when active in the gross body, we forget the activities of sleeping. Actually, both states, sleeping and waking, are creations of the illusory energy. The living entity actually has no connection with either the activities of sleep or the activities of the so-called vacant state. When a person is in deep sleep or when he has fainted, he forgets his gross body. Similarly, under chloroform or some other anesthetic, the living entity forgets his gross body and does not feel pain or pleasure during a surgical operation. Similarly, when a man is suddenly shocked by some great loss, he forgets his identification with the gross body. At the time of death, when the temperature of the body rises to 107 degrees, the living entity falls into a coma and is unable to identify his gross body. In such cases, the life air that moves within the body is choked up and the living entity forgets his identification with the gross body. Because of our ignorance of the spiritual body, of which we have no experience, we do not know of the activities of the spiritual body. And in ignorance, we jump from one false platform to another. We act sometimes in relation to the gross body and sometimes in relation to the subtle body. If by Krishna's grace, we act in our spiritual body, we can transcend both the gross and subtle bodies. In other words, we can gradually train ourselves to act in terms of the spiritual body. as stated in the Narada Pancharatra, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Devotional service means engaging the spiritual body and spiritual senses in the service of the Lord. When we are engaged in such activities, the actions and reactions of the gross and subtle bodies cease. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is one of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is one of the most brilliant analysis we will find on death and on mind. This section actually focuses on death and mind. And today's verse, which we read, particularly explains about when we lose our, when do we lose our self-awareness? Generally, we are aware. We think we are aware of what's happening around. But there are four occasions when we lose our self-awareness. That is what this verse today is talking about. And the four situations are Supti, the verse says, Supti means deep sleep, and Upatapeshu, when we are grief-stricken, when a lot of distress, or Mrityu, during the time of death, we are not aware of what's happening, and Prajvarayo, very high temperature or high fever. And Srila Prabhupada clarifies in this verse also, and also in this section we read, how the senses become inactive to different degrees when we are in these situations. And we don't identify the self, the I, with the body at these situations. But although we don't connect with the body when we are so grief-stricken, we lose a sense of awareness. But the subtle body is existing and it is also very active. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that we can transcend both gross and subtle body, and we have to train ourselves. Srila Prabhupada is saying, if we can train ourselves by situating ourselves in the spiritual body. So gradually what will happen by that training, Srila Prabhupada quotes these beautiful words, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. If we serve, if we engage our senses in the Lord's service, then we will be able to eventually transcend the influence of the gross and subtle body. So when I read this purport today morning for preparing for this class, my takeaway, what I learned from this verse and purport is that if we focus spending some time regularly, ideally daily, on the soul state or on the being state, in the sense when we are absorbed in devotional service, when we are situated in a place where, you know, we are really with Krishna, with the holy name. So when we nourish the deepest core of ourselves, when we do that, we will slowly but surely become free from the actions and reactions of this body. And we will be able to transcend the bodily limitations. So this is my takeaway or my understanding from this purport of Srila Prabhupada. And this we all know, I think you've been reading this for a long time. This is one of the most fascinating stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam because it is an allegory. Puranjan Akhyan. Puranjan is a fictitious character who Narad Muni narrates the story of to instruct King Prachini Parishad. And in this chapter, he has elaborated on what those different people in the allegory actually mean. Like, for example, Puranjan in the story refers to the living entity. The city that is being talked about in this story refers to the body. And the nine gates in the city refers to the nine holes in the body. And the male friends of Puranjan refer to the 10 senses. So like this, in this chapter, Narad Muni is not giving allegory. Narad Muni is directly describing the nature of material existence. And Narad Muni gives amazing and graphic examples of our situation. Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the best part of Srimad Bhagavatam. To the point. So Narad Muni says, my dear King Prachini Barishad, living entity is like a wandering dog. A dog sometimes gets food in one house. In another house, the dog is driven away. So he says, similarly, we sometimes get enjoyment, sometimes we get kicks and we get suffering. So we make, and then Narad Muni says, we always try to shift or we try to remove sufferings. We try to escape our attempts are to escape miseries in this world. But Narad Muni says, that is like, you know, you have a burden on your head, you remove that burden and you put it on your shoulder. Then you remove it and put it on another shoulder. Then again, you put it on the head. Basically, the burden you cannot escape. So like this, Narad Muni finally tells Prachini Parishad that, my dear king, the only solution is devotional service. Through karma and jnana, you really cannot do anything much. So he basically says we should always hear, we should chant Krishna's glories. So basically he explains the futility of ritualistic ceremonies. And then he gives another amazing analogy of the deer. He says, we are all like the deer in the forest, which is enjoying the beautiful garden. There is fragrant breeze going on. There is pleasant humming of the bumblebees. So similarly, he says, we are like that deer. The man is enjoying with his family, with his wife, and is hearing beautiful music at home. He is happy, so-called happy. But the deer doesn't realize that the lion is standing in the front to attack him. And there is a hunter behind with an arrow. Similarly, he says, when the man is enjoying like the deer in this forest of material existence, he doesn't understand that there is Mr. Time behind him waiting to destroy him, and there is death standing in front of him. So like this, very graphically he has explained. So Parchini Parishad now, in this section that we are reading, is asking further questions on, you know, which, and the question that Prachini Parishad is asking is a very typical question, which even today, thousands and thousands of years since this was asked by the king, even today, when we do courses and classes, people ask this question in our classes. Prachini Parishad's question is that we have done something in the last life with the body, and how come we are getting the reactions in this life on this body? And what action I perform with this body, how can I get reaction in my next life when I have another body? How can this happen? Very logical question. And the answer that Narad Muni gives, which is what we are reading now, this is a section, is amazing answer and an amazing example he gives, which is very, very powerful. So Narad Muni says, see, the gross body that we have, you know, like all these hands, like what we are seeing and perceiving, this is actually forced to act because there is a subtle body, the mind, intelligence and ego. So the subtle body is actually forcing this body to act. So he gives a very nice example of a dream. He says dream is equal to reincarnation. So just like what happens in a dream, when you are dreaming in the night, you see that you actually are not in this body. In the sense, you are identified with another body. The self is not connected to this body. We have forgotten that we are this body. We are in another world, in the dream world. So through the subtle body, we are acting in another body. That is what is dream. Similarly, what happens in reincarnation is that the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, ego, the subtle body enters another gross body and experiences completely different. So what happens? See, the action that we perform is because we identify with this body. I identify with this body, so I perform action, right? So I'm attached to this body. I have relationship related to this body. So I perform an action. Fine. But when we perform an action, the reaction, the results we receive of the action, that results are received in the subtle body. And that subtle body helps us get another body. That's how the journey happens. And that is what Narad Muni is explaining to Prachini Parishad with the example of the dream. So you may say, okay, I understand this. But I want to perceive the subtle body also, just like we perceive this gross body. So when the leg is hurt, we know the leg is paining, right? But our perception of what subtle body is not there. We generally see the gross body is destroyed, but the subtle body remains. And we identify with the gross body and we also identify with the subtle body. Our identity is merged with the subtle body. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this section that if we have self-awareness, if I separate myself from my body, if I separate myself from my subtle mind, I am not my body, I am not this mind also, then we can perceive how I am different, how the soul is different from the body and the mind. Generally we say, I am not the body. We always say this in the classes also, I am not the body, I am the soul. We should also say, I am not the mind also, I am separate from the mind. So how do we perceive this? So Narad Muni is giving us a very nice technique. Please hear this carefully. He is saying our hope is self-awareness. So he says, if we keep hearing Krishna Katha, if we keep hearing Bhagavatam, we will understand. So Bhagavatam says, you know, we have dreams, and dreams are simply combination of so many things that we go through in the daytime, in our conscious time. So when we keep hearing this, then we understand, I am not my subtle body, I am not my mind. So he gives examples of, see, whenever we get dreams, what are dreams, first of all? Dreams are basically a combination of the previous experiences that we had. Whatever association we had with material nature, at a different time, place and circumstances, now that combines itself to give us a dream. Like in the dream, you may see an ocean on the top of a mountain. Or you may see the stars in the daytime, in the dream. Or you may see a body without a head. Now in real life, we don't see this. Srila Prabhupada gives the famous example of, if you see gold in the daytime, and then you see a mountain, and then in the night when you are sleeping, you will see a golden mountain. Right? We see like that. So dreams appear to be bizarre, but they are simply a combination of the experiences that we gather at different time, place and circumstances in this world. Like for example, I remember when I was a new brahmachari, I joined the temple. I had the service of making chapatis. So one day we made parathas for the devotees, and I was sitting next to the oven, and my job was to the paratha that was put on the tawa, on the gas, on the stove. I had to, and it was very intense fire. It was the month of May, very hot summer in Mumbai. And my job was to remove the paratha and turn it over and then again turn it back and then finally take it out and put it on the big plate. So we were making parathas for more than 100 devotees. So I was sitting on the fire, next to the fire, for more than 3 hours. And we were making, so I was doing that service. And after that, I was so tired. I wanted to sleep. But I had not completed my quota of book distribution, which I would go after lunch. So today, on this particular day, I didn't want to go, but I had to complete my quota. So I forced myself to go. So I would go in the local train, I distributed books. I would make an announcement and people would buy the books and I would come back. So that day when I came back, I was so tired that I crashed. I slept at 7:38 in the night. I just went to sleep. And the whole night I had one dream that I'm in the train, local train, and I've made a stove. That is fire. I'm sitting next to the fire in the train. And I am, instead of parathas, I am cooking Srila Prabhupada's books. There are Srila Prabhupada's books on that tawa. So I am taking out Srila Prabhupada's books, hot books, and I am giving it to people. And people are taking those books which are coming out of a stove, of a gas, fire. So what is this? Can this really happen in real world? Is it possible in a local train of Mumbai that you cook books and distribute them? It's not possible. It will never happen. But that's what dreams are. Dreams are bizarre. It appears as if they have never happened before, but they are simply a combination of different experiences. So now we as devotees, because we have come to spiritual life and we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we have an ambition, we have an agenda. We want to remove all these dreams in the sense, we want to remove the connections with material nature and we want to remove these impressions and we want to go back home, back to Godhead. That is our goal, right? When we die, we want this to be the last life. So Narad Muni is giving a simple solution in this section, that simply absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. Like, and Srila Prabhupada gives beautiful example. Of course, Narad Muni gives the example, sorry, about Rahu. No, we cannot see Rahu planet. But the Lord can see Rahu. The Lord can see full moon also. Similarly, when we absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, Narad Muni says that we can see our body, we can see the mind's desires also. We can have awareness. We will, by Lord's grace, because of our absorption, we will be able to separate ourselves from the body and mind. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very beautiful example. He says, when baby Krishna, Mother Yashoda told baby Krishna to open his mouth, she saw inside his mouth so many planets, stars, constellations. She saw the whole universe. So similarly, he says that if we are absorbed in spiritual practices, then by Krishna's grace, we will be able to see all our desires, all the things that are there. And we will be able to separate the soul from this gross and subtle body. So basically, Krishna's mercy is possible. And Krishna's mercy is that awareness which he gives us, which is a gift from Krishna. And from our side, we have to be absorbed. So basically, absorption means what? Simple words. But let us simplify today's class. The today's main class, the main message from the section that we are reading now and this verse is that Krishna will help us transcend the bodily and mind connections and identifications. But for that, from our side, we need to be attentive in our spiritual practices. We need to be absorbed. So if we do that, then Krishna gives us the gift of awareness. So what happens when Krishna gives that gift? We can see all the desires. So that, but once Krishna gives us that awareness, once I know what are the things in me, then the real test happens. Then comes the second, first choice I have is I have to be attentive. So if I'm attentive in my practices, Krishna will gift us awareness. And then when I have awareness, then I have second choice. Can I accept myself the way I am? Can I accept myself that, okay, these are my desires? See, this is very difficult. Most of us live in denial. But Brahmaji has told us in the 10th canto, Tattenu Kampam Susumikshamano, Krishna, this is what I am. I offer this to you for healing. Please accept me. Please forgive me. For this ability to come to terms with who I am is a very important aspect of our spiritual practices. Understanding our small position in this universe, understanding how insignificant I am and accepting my small position, that's when we actually feel loved. Generally in this world, people think I have to be big to become important and to achieve. But in spiritual life, the more I understand and I accept my small insignificant position as a person with a lot of desires and lot of material things. But when I accept myself, then I feel loved by the universe. Then I feel loved by Krishna. So many of us are struggling with this. You know, we come to Krishna consciousness, our desire to advance is so strong that we become so obsessed with that desire to advance that we live in denial. We refuse to accept our small position and the fact that we have a lot of desires. Even when I say I'm fallen, it is, you know, we're not really accepting ourselves the way we are. So basically the first step is attention. If you are attentive, then Krishna gives us awareness. And when that awareness is there, we need to accept it. Okay, this is who I am. You know, because many times devotees, we struggle with our anarthas and lower nature and we are not able to solve. So we start getting frustrated. But acceptance means, you know, telling Krishna, Krishna, this is who I am. I'm not shameless. I'm just being honest. I accept myself the way I am, Krishna, and I want to offer myself to you with who I am. See, if there is a problem, there is a saying which had inspired me a lot. If there is a problem which you cannot solve, repeatedly you are trying and you are not able to solve a problem, that means it may not be a problem that needs to be solved. Maybe it is a truth that you need to accept. So many times we need to accept certain things about ourselves. And, you know, sometimes what we do is we deny and we absorb ourselves in service. We think, I'll keep doing seva. I will not think about any of... No, Krishna is telling us, Prabhu, this is your condition. No. I'll just keep doing seva. And that is Rajoguna. And because of that, Srila Prabhupada knew that we will live in denial. So Srila Prabhupada said, whatever services you do is okay, but you should chant your 16 rounds. You should hear Bhagavatam. Sadhana, he gave a spiritual practice. He gave us very important because when we are attentive in our spiritual practices and we have a service attitude, of course, that will give us awareness. And then when we accept ourselves the way we are, Krishna will give us another gift, a pure aspiration to serve. Unfortunately, many of us, we are not even aware of who we are. And but if we now, let us say we are all chanting our japa, you all come together to chant. So when we chant attentively, and if we make that as a goal, that sincerity, you know, sincerity, if we are having that, then we will realize that, oh, I cannot chant. Mind is so difficult. So that desire, that sincerity will result in feeling humble. So C.S. Lewis, one very famous author, he had said, humiliation for most people comes before humility. We think humility is some gift, you know, humility is some fruit which is lying on a tree. I'll just pick it up. You know, I'm humble now. Humility is not so easy. Before humility comes sincerity. So if I'm sincere in my practices, I have a sincere desire to improve my chanting. So I'll keep failing and I'll understand, oh, I'm so small. I cannot do this. Krishna, this is who I am. So in that space, when I'm honest, you know, when I'm presenting myself, Krishna becomes happy. And Krishna awards us with humility. So basically, the first step is sincerity. And in that sincerity, when we are trying to be attentive, when we are present in our practices, Krishna gives us the gift of awareness. When Krishna gives us awareness, we take the bitter pill, we swallow it, and we accept the truth. And then when we accept, that is when Krishna gives us real humility. So therefore, if we want to be part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, the admission is not on how strong you are to fight Maya. We think to join an army, you have to be strong. Similarly, to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, I have to be strong in my fight against Maya. No, that is not the qualification. The qualification to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army is honesty. So if I'm very honest, that is, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased by that. So, of course, I want to clarify, honesty doesn't mean shamelessness. Honesty means to know where I am. Krishna, this is my condition. Honesty means to know where I am, but not remain where I am. I want to improve, Krishna. So when we have that smallness, that acceptance of our small condition, and when we are at peace with ourselves, then Krishna becomes pleased. And then we can actually we stand a good chance of progressing in spiritual life. Therefore, this is the solution that the Bhagavatam is giving, absorption in spiritual practices. So basically, in this purport, what we read today, my understanding is two things. First is attention, because attention means basically present in our spiritual practices. Today, the hot topic everywhere is mindfulness. Everybody is talking about it. So mindfulness, present living, be here now, these kind of things. So the absorption is present, being present is what will help us in our spiritual activities. And that is one. Second, we can also have healthy awareness practices. You know, like I do this practice, which helps me. You know, sometimes just sitting, relaxing and observing without judging, without putting labels. So that helps us. Many times I've seen that helps me improve my awareness. I can see that I'm more aware, you know. So we can try this also. I don't know if you are aware, you know, there are many kinds of dreams. You know, psychologists speak about this. One kind of dream is what is called as lucid dream, L-U-C-I-D, lucid. Lucid dream is, you know, we all have experienced this. When we are dreaming sometimes, you are aware that you are dreaming. So, you know, it's amazing. You are dreaming, you are asleep. But in your dream, you may be playing cricket. But you are aware that you are dreaming, that you are playing cricket. So what you do then is you change the narrative. You change the dream plot. This happens. So this is called as a lucid dream. When you are dreaming, but you are aware that you are dreaming and you make certain changes and you tweak your dreams. Right? This happens with all of us. Similarly, we can have in our awareness state, like for example, right now we are aware, or we are supposed to be aware. We are present, right? We are hearing the class. So right now, if in an awareness state also, if we can have something like lucid awareness, in the sense, I'm aware, but I'm not aware. I'm present, but I'm not. See, I'm conscious, but I'm not conscious of my consciousness. What I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking right now, maybe. But I'm not aware of what I'm thinking. I've identified with the mind so much. But when we have lucid awareness, we can separate ourselves from our consciousness, from our conscious, what I'm thinking. Like I'll give an example. Like for example, right now the class is going on. You may be thinking, hey, Prabhuji is speaking very technical and very boring. You may get this thought. But if you can immediately say, my mind is saying that the class is boring. The class is technical. Or my mind is angry at Prabhuji. My mind is saying that I'm very hungry. The mind is demanding food. The mind is... So what when we say this, we can immediately separate ourselves from our mind. Otherwise, our identity is merged with the mind so much. Therefore, at least for some time, regularly, if we can have a practice where we can separate ourselves from our mind, that is very healthy. But of course, you know, many of you may say, and we also say this, that we just depend on Krishna. Why unnecessarily analyze so much? These are all Mayavadi stuff. you know, just cry out to Krishna. That is the best solution. But we have to remember that we can't be in denial, because if we are really sincere, Krishna will reveal to us. The alarm will ring. You know, the alarm, when the alarm rings, the person who is sleeping, he will immediately wake up. But if a person is pretending to be sleeping, then even if the alarm is very loud, he will not wake up. So here the alarm ringing is compared to awareness gift that Krishna gives. Because we are sincerely doing bhakti, time and again Krishna will reveal to you that this is your problem. This is the anartha. So that's like the alarm going. And the sleeping man is compared to a sincere soul who wakes up. But many of us, we may also be pretending to be sleeping. That means we may be in denial. No. So when the more we are in denial, the more we refuse to wake up, the more we refuse to allow Krishna's voice to influence and direct our lives. So we have to be careful. When Krishna is showing us the mirror, we have to practice acceptance. And another problem with many devotees, many of us, is that we also suffer from what is called as a stupor. You know, when you sleep, S-T-U-P-O-R in English, I don't know what you call it in other languages. Stupor is when you get up from sleep, but you're still sleepy. Alarm rings, you wake up, but you're still sitting in the bed and your eyes are drooling and you want to go back to sleep, but you know you have to wake up and you're unsure and you see realize that 15 minutes has gone waste. And then you again go back to sleep for 1 hour. So, see, some people, when the alarm rings, they get up, they go, they immediately take a shower and they're fresh. Some people, when the alarm rings, they switch it off and they go off to sleep. So, first category are like devotees, sincere devotees. You know, when there is awareness, they understand, they accept and they take action. And the second category is materialistic person who hears, who sees some messages given by Krishna, but he ignores it and goes back to materialistic activities. But we devotees in the middle category, we are the worst sufferers because we want to wake up, but we don't have the determination and we are in stupor, we are confused. So for us, the solution is action. Stupor means in analyzing, what is the faith proof? Krishna exists, you know, I want faith. I'm asking too many questions and confused, not willing to take action. But when the alarm rings, don't bother about analysis. You just jump into Krishna consciousness. So when we do that, then we experience, it's like taking bath when you wake up from sleep. Just like, you know, sometimes devotees are too much analysis. So what will happen? How Krishna will take help us? And at what stage, what bhakti symptoms I will get and how I will make advancement. So many questions we have. But instead of all of that, you know, it's like, you know, in bucket, you put a bucket under a tap where the water is coming very slowly. If there is some problem with the municipality and the water supply is like it is just falling in drops. So you keep the bucket there. And as the water drop is falling, you don't keep looking at that drop of water intensely. Oh, when will the bucket get filled? No, you keep the bucket there and you carry on and do other activities. And after 2 hours, you come and then you see the bucket is full. Similarly, in bhakti, you know, we don't keep analyzing and we don't get paralysis by analysis. We do our sadhana, chanting, hearing, and we perform action. We do our services. We do so many things that are needs to be done, taking care of our family, being with devotees, doing whatever is needed. Not worrying and analyzing too much. Therefore, we have to know the Maya Devi, illusory power of Krishna is very strong. Both materialistic people and devotees are trapped by Maya. Materialistic people are trapped by Maya because Maya convinces them not to surrender to Krishna. Maya tells them, switch off the alarm and go to sleep. For devotees, Maya attacks by telling them, Maya cannot convince them not to surrender to Krishna because they are devotees. So Maya tells them, you can postpone your surrender. You know, you can, alarm is there. You can get up, but thoda baad mein utho, get up a little later. No. So the point is, we have to understand that now is the time to surrender. It is not tomorrow or next year, which means now is the time to tell Krishna, Krishna, I am yours. Krishna, please accept me. That offering of our heart to Krishna is now. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is the meaning of being present. This is the meaning of loving Krishna. This is what is being asked by Narad Muni to Prachini Barishad and by Srila Prabhupada to all of us. So the instruction, to summarize this verse, which we have discussed today, the main message of this verse and this section is that we need to absorb ourselves in our spiritual practices. And when we do that, Krishna will gift us with awareness of all our desires. But we need to remember in today's class that that is not the end. Krishna gives us awareness, doesn't mean we are liberated. When we understand our problems, we need to have the humility to accept it. And when we accept it, we please Krishna by our honesty. So for the first step is attention. And attention, and also I shared some tools that I practice of awareness practices. And all that basically means living in the now. Telling Krishna that I want to surrender now. Krishna, how can I please you now? This moment. So this is the main message of today's verse. So I would like to pause here. We can take some questions on this verse a little later. But also would like to briefly speak on Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is one of the most stalwart Vaishnava Acharyas, whose appearance day is today. And we have been... disappearance day today. I'm sorry. Today is the disappearance day of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he is one of the most illustrious Vaishnava Acharyas. And I've been asked by devotees to speak on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also briefly. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is one of the most beautiful scriptures. Prabhupada said it is a postgraduate thesis of the Bhagavad Gita is graduation. It is PhD. Bhagavad Gita is graduation. Srimad Bhagavatam is post-graduation. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is like PhD thesis. It describes the most intimate ecstasies of God. And this was authored by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami at the age of 90. He was mid-90s, 95, 96 year old. He wrote this. So it's an amazing pastime. He was born in Katwa. And he... actually had he has taught us many things by his example. I feel I don't know where to begin from, but okay, let us begin from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he himself shares his pastime. He was very attached to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and he was a sincere devotee. So in his family, in their house, they invited Miniketan Ramdas for a beautiful festival of Sankirtan. And Miniketan Ramdas was a very dear associate of Lord Nityananda. But in that festival and program, the Pujari, he did not respect, Pujari's name was Gunaranava Mishra. He did not respect Miniketan Ramdas. And in that altercation, he actually denounced Nityananda Prabhu. He said, I accept Lord Chaitanya, but Nityananda Prabhu I don't accept. So... Gunaranava Mishra said that Miniketan Ramdas was shocked because he was a devotee of Lord Nityananda and he couldn't tolerate this offense to Lord Nityananda. So he got hurt, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother supported Gunaranava Mishra, and Miniketan Ramdas felt so angry at this offense that he left the place. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got so upset with his brother. He scolded his brother that how could you offend? He said, if you are not accepting Nityananda Prabhu, it is a very big offense. It is like half hen philosophy. The hen gives eggs, but then also eats food. So you cannot say that I will cut the hen into half and only take the back side because that gives me eggs. No. Similarly, he said, if you accept Lord Chaitanya, you have to also accept Lord Nityananda. He tells his brother, it is better you be an atheist than accept only Lord Nityananda. Only Lord Chaitanya. So like that, he scolds him, but he feels very sad. And that night, he gets a vision of Lord Nityananda, who is very pleased with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami for having defended him and for having scolded his brother. So Lord Nityananda tells him, gives him an order that, my dear Krishnadas Kaviraj, you go to Vrindavan. There all your desires will be fulfilled. So by the order of Lord Nityananda, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami comes to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And at an advanced age, he was staying there and he was attending classes on Lord Chaitanya's pastime that was being spoken by Raghunath Das Goswami at Radhakund. And there, Kaviraj Goswami heard, and then he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Kaviraj Goswami, he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that, you know, the gift he got, he says, I'm very fallen. Jagai madai hoite mui se papishtha, purishera kita hoite mui se lagishtha. Jagai madai, I'm worse than jagai madai. I'm like a worm in the stool, and if somebody chants my name, they'll get all sinful reactions like that. But then he says, that although I am so disqualified, I am very fortunate. Emona nirgrana more keba kripa kore ek nitya ananda vinu jagata bitare. Although I am very fallen, Lord Nityananda has been very kind to me. And what did Lord Nityananda do with me? Mopa pishta anilena shri vrindavan. I am so papishta, worst kind of sinner, but Lord Nityananda has given me Vrindavan. But he gave me something very important in Vrindavan. When we go to Vrindavan, we want to go to Banke Bihari and we want to go to all the different temples, which is great. Some of us may want to go to Lohi Bazaar, right? Vrindavan Dham is what? Kaviraj Goswami reveals that not Nityananda has given him Vrindavan, but he has given something very special in Vrindavan. What is that? Mopa pishta nilena shri vrindavan moena dhame dilo shri rupa charan. I have got Vrindavan, and this fallen person like myself, I have got the shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan. And not only that, in Vrindavan Dham, I got shelter of Raghunath Das Goswami because I used to hear Krishna Katha from him. Yaha hoite painu Raghu Nath Mahashay, yaha hoite painu Shri Sarupura Ashray. I got the shelter of Raghunath Das Goswami, and I also got shelter of his spiritual master, Swarup Damodar Goswami, when I was in Vrindavan. This is very, very interesting because if you see, Swarup Damodar Goswami did not come to Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar Goswami remained in Jagannath Puri. But still, you will see that he's feeling, Kaviraj Goswami is feeling that I am in Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu gave me Vrindavan, and Nityananda Prabhu gave me association of Rupa Goswami, association of Raghunath Das Goswami, and also association of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Although we know Swarup Damodar Goswami did not come to Vrindavan. So Kaviraj Goswami is feeling the presence of Swarup Damodar Goswami in his life because of hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami. So physical distance, physical limitations don't matter. When there is gratitude in the heart, one can perceive the presence of the Lord and Lord's most intimate devotees. So you will see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is one of the most amazing scriptures, that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he did not want to show off, he did not want to write about Lord Chaitanya, he just wanted to hear. He was a simple, unassuming Vaishnava, but the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan ordered him. So there are Anantacharya, disciple of Gadadhara Pandit, you know, serving Radha Govinda Diti, and he had many wonderful disciples, and one of them was Pandit Haridas, was all completely free of fault finding. And when Kaviraj Goswami was offering prayers there to Madan Mohan, so the garland fell and everybody exclaimed that, you know, he had gone to take permission of the deity, and the deities gave him permission and everybody acknowledged, and devotee had ordered him and that you should write about Lord Chaitanya because you have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. So he was so humble. He says, and you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find Kaviraj Goswami's mood is that I am very ordinary person. Now what happened? Madan Mohan came in his dream and ordered him to write. Now he's feeling so ashamed to say this to the readers, but he feels guilty that if I don't say, that will be also wrong. Look at his humility. He says that I have been ordered by Madan Gopal. Shri Madan Gopala More. Lekaye agya kori kahi tena yuai tabu rahite na pari. Madan Gopal has ordered me. I cannot say this to all of you, but I cannot keep it to myself also. Why? Na kahile hoye mora kritagnata dosh damba kari boli shrota na karo ho rosh. If I don't tell you that Madan Gopal ordered me, then I'll be guilty of ingratitude. And if I tell this, I am acting out of pride and arrogance. So, na karo ho rosh. Oh, my dear readers, my dear audience, please don't be angry with me. Because ultimately, I want your mercy. Tuma sabara charana dhuli karinu vandana tate chaitanya lila hoila yeki chulikhana. I simply fall at the dust of your lotus feet because I want your mercy. I don't want to show off. I'm simply writing this for my own purification. So this is the mood in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has beautifully written Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he has explained very nicely that See, Kaviraj Goswami, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, every chapter begins with a Sanskrit verse. Amazing, isn't it? And that verse reveals the essence of the chapter. And it is very poetic also. So, you know, some of the verses are amazing. Like one verse I remember now. Naomi tam gaura chandramya kutarka karkashashayam sarvabhaumam sarvabhumam bhakti bhumanam acharit. So this is a chapter when Lord Chaitanya is in, you know, delivering Sarvam Bhattacharya. But how does the chapter begin? How does the Sanskrit verse, Kaviraj Goswami says, so poetically he says, that I offer my respects to Lord Gaurachandra, who kutarka karkashashayam, who has smashed all materialistic logic by sarvabhaumam sarvabhumam. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, sarvabhumam, he had all the logic and knowledge of this world. Sarvabhaumam sarvabhumam bhakti bhumanam acharit. So Lord Chaitanya smashed all his logic and filled his heart with all bhakti. But to say that in a poetic way, sarvabhaumam sarvabhumam bhakti bhumanam acharit. So like this, very poetically he has composed, and then the whole chapter is about Sarvam Bhattacharya's deliverance. And every verse in every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is rhyming. You know, what is that? I just chanted one verse. Mopapishta Anilena Shri Vrindavan Moena Adame Dilo Shri Rupa Charan. So you'll see that rhyming. So there are what? 17 chapters in Adi Lila, 25 chapters in Madhya Lila, 20 chapters in Ante Lila. So, and each chapter has more than 150 verses. So you can, thousands and thousands of verses, all rhyming, poetic, Bengali, sweet Bengali, and Sanskrit verses in between. And he's quoting from Upanishads, from Bhagavatam. Now, those days, they didn't have Google Baba to guide them. So at the age of 95, look at his memory, and he's saying, I have arthritis, I have pain in the legs and all that. But his ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya is so intense that he's just glorifying, you know, how he's able to recall so many verses from so many places. This is incredible. This is an amazing thing to witness. So, and all this is doing at the age of 95. So, and of course, there are many verses like this. Another beautiful verse is, Kumanasu manas swami yati asya padabjayo sumano arpana matrena tam chaitanya prabhumbaje. You have a bad mind, kumana, sumanas swam. If you want to make it beautiful mind, then what you should do? Kumanasu manas swami yati asya padabjayo. Go to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and do what? Sumano arpana matrena. Offer suman. So suman also means flower. So suman also means beautiful mind. So how beautifully he has used word play. But of course, all this is coming from a space of deep love. And how he is empowered by Madan Gopal, you know, the deity of Madan Mohan. So there are many things about Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami we could speak. But today on his disappearance day, we can pray that we can develop one amazing quality which Kaviraj Goswami displayed of, that is appreciation of Vaishnavas. You see in Chaitanya Charitamrita constantly is glorifying so many devotees, especially glorifies Vrindavan Das Thakur. One of written Chaitanya Bhagavat, and repeatedly in Chaitanya Charitamrita he says, you go and read that book, go and read Vrindavan Das Thakur's book. So, you know, authors, they generally want to present how my book is better than the previous book on this subject. But Kaviraj Goswami is constantly telling his readers, you fools, go and read that book. Ore Muda, Loka Shuna, Chaitanya Mangal, Yahara Shravana Nashe Sarva Mangal, oh foolish people of this world, go and read Vrindavan Das Thakur's book. I mean, he is actually Krishna Lila Bhagavata Kahe Vedavyas. Chaitanya Lilara Vyas Vrindavan Das. Krishna Lila is in Bhagavat and Vedavyas has spoken it. And Chaitanya Lila has been spoken by Vrindavan Das. So this is amazing non-enviousness. Amazing quality of Vaishnava appreciation. So we can pray today to Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami to bless us with this quality of genuinely appreciating others and living in that abundance mentality of a heart that is wanting to serve devotees. So this is the summary of today's class, and I've been also asked to take last 5 minutes of question and answers. So if there are any questions, we could take some questions now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Hare. For the beautiful class. Thank you. Hare Krishna, do anybody have any question? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have a doubt. Like you said, when the mind is saying something and you can distinguish yourself saying, okay, this is not me, this is my mind. In that, how do we know which one is mind and which one is intelligence, Prabhu?
Ah, See, what we do, no? See, mind, intelligence, ego, we are using this, you're using one word, mind, as synonymous with mind, intelligence, and ego. Because if you start analyzing which is intelligence, which is mind, which is, then there is a mind only talking. See, mind is much, much more craftier than you can imagine. Many times we think I'm intelligent. Oh, I'm very intelligent. I saw my mind trick me. You rascal mind. How dare you come with such... And we think my intelligence is very active and I have subdued my mind. We are so foolish. We are unable to realize that this chastising by the so-called intelligence of the mind is actually the mind only talking. The mind has come through the back door. So So therefore, it is better that we don't trust our intelligence. We trust higher intelligence, scriptural intelligence. That's why do we hear Bhagavatam classes? Because our intelligence is contaminated. Our intelligence is material. Therefore, it is better we spend time listening to Bhagavatam or listening to higher intelligence and trust that. Whereas in our own life, we put everything composite as mind. In a sense, it is not me. Subtle body. Basically, rather than mind, you can call it a subtle body. So if we do that, then I think we stand a good chance of advancing. Otherwise, we'll keep analyzing, and that analysis is mind only talking. So let us not get trapped by this. Therefore, Prabhupada always told us to trust higher intelligence, higher wisdom. So this is the way we handle our mind. Especially during chanting, you will get lot of ideas. You have to be careful about taking the mind too seriously. Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple solution. He said, the best solution for mind is neglect. Don't take it too seriously. But because the purport was talking about this, we have to talk about it. And I, in fact, wrote a book called Mind Your Mind also. Because, you know, we are so caught up with the mind that we need to understand. So sometimes we do that. Okay,
yeah,
thank
so,
you.
Yeah, so Prabhu, like the continuing on that, Prabhu, so like it's not always the bad ideas that we get from inside, whether it is mind intelligence or whatever it is. Sometimes it does say read Srimad Bhagavatam, do worship, do japa. So that's the reason I'm like blaming the mind all the time that it's bad. Sometimes it does say good. And when it says good and if we happen to be neglecting the mind as well, then we are getting...
Rupa Goswami has given us a simple formula. Rupa Goswami has given us a simple formula. He has told us Anukulasa Sankalpa Pratukulasa Varjana. You know, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us this. Surrender means accepting that which is favorable for bhakti and rejecting that which is unfavorable. So if something is favorable for Krishna consciousness, we accept it. You know, so then don't have to worry too much about it. So what is it favorable? Yes, then we accept it. So whenever mind is saying anything that is favorable for Krishna consciousness, we accept it.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that
so
okay?
Much. Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
I see one question here, or should I take? I can see in the chat.
We can take the chat questions, Prabhuji. There are a few questions here.
Yeah, yes. I can take those. Thank you. So I see a question here saying how to intense our prayer. Kindly give practical way. Well, the most practical way to improve our prayers is to spend time with Krishna. See, our problem is we want many practical tips, but ultimately, there is nothing practical. You know, you have to discover your own tools of connecting with Krishna. So it is like saying, you know, I want to connect with my husband or wife. Give me some practical tips. So somebody may give you practical tips, but ultimately, that person is not your husband or wife. You have to go back to your husband or wife, your partner, your companion, or your spouse. So the world may give you many guidance, many tips, many techniques, but ultimately, it's between you and your companion, or you and your husband or your spouse. Similarly, different devotees will share different tools, different techniques, which is helping them connect with the Lord. But ultimately, you have to spend time with Krishna. There is no substitute for that. So to improve our prayers, the golden formula is spend time with Krishna. Just like if somebody says, how do I improve my relationship with my husband, Prabhuji? How do I improve my relationship with my wife? First, spend time with her. Serve her. Ask her. Ask him. What is wrong in the relationship? So you spend time with Krishna. Sit in front of your deities. Just be present with the deities and allow Krishna to reveal to you. So when we chant, we're always looking for tips and techniques to improve chanting. Instead of asking the world about chanting techniques, you ask chanting itself. Our Mahatma Prabhu says beautifully, it is not your japa. You should not think while chanting it is my japa. You should think it is our japa. Krishna is also there. Krishna is also present. It is not your alone japa. Similarly, for tips for improving our prayers, tips for improving chanting means ultimately asking Krishna only, Krishna, what is wrong in my relationship with you? What should I do, Krishna? Till we come to that stage where we ask Krishna for tips, or we ask Krishna, how can I connect you better? That is the ultimate mother of all tips. That is the Brahmastra tip. And we forget that and we take so many tips, but you still always feel less. I've seen that last so many years, I've heard so many techniques, so many tools, but still japa is not improving, or prayers, you know, still I feel vacuum. Then I realized that the ultimate solution is we have to go to Krishna only. So if you have a problem with your husband or wife, you may go to the world and ask for help, but ultimately solution, you have to come back to your husband or wife. Similarly, we may ask for tips, we may share some things, but are you ultimately spending time with Krishna? That is the bottom line. So this is the answer to your question. I hope that is okay. And it is already 5:50. So Mataji, what should we do? Shyama Gopi Mataji. How to develop taste in chanting? Should I take this one question also and then we can conclude?
Yes, Prabhu, you can take the questions as long as you have time, Prabhu.
Oh, I thought it is still 5:50, so I made some other commitments. Sorry, but I'll take one or two questions. We'll complete this.
Okay? Whatever you are comfortable, yeah. Prabhu.
Thank you. So how do we develop taste in chanting? This is another question I see on the chat. Nitin Sharma, Prabhu. Thank you for this question. My answer to this is, taste is a gift that Krishna gives. So we cannot develop taste. I cannot achieve taste because it is not in my hand. Taste is Krishna's gift. But there is something in me which I have, and that is enthusiasm. So our question can be, how do I develop enthusiasm in chanting? Instead of asking, how do I develop taste? Because taste is Krishna's property. Now, okay, you will say, okay, Prabhuji, then how do I develop enthusiasm in chanting? So to develop enthusiasm in chanting, our Niranjan Maharaj gave a very beautiful answer. When people ask him, how do I become humble, Maharaj? How do I become sincere, Maharaj? How do I become enthusiastic? How do I become grateful? So Maharaj would say, in ISKCON, there are some questions which are called as how you do it questions. So he says the answer to this how you do it questions is you do it by doing it. So how do you become humble? Maharaj says you become humble by becoming humble. You become grateful by becoming grateful. You become enthusiastic by becoming enthusiastic. So this is the answer. I'm sorry to give a very simplistic and, I'm not trying to avoid your question. It is just that, enthusiasm is enthusiasm. having that freshness, having that excitement. And the best way to develop enthusiasm and all good qualities in bhakti is by hearing. If we have good association, if we hear from those good devotees, then we will develop enthusiasm. If you are associating with those devotees who are enthusiastic, we will also develop enthusiasm. And then Krishna, when he is pleased with us, he will give us a taste. Okay? We'll just take one last question and then we will conclude. I can see in this chat, there's one more question that has come up. Can you give us an example of acceptance? Okay, so I gave the example of, one example I gave of Brahmaji's prayer. But there is also Lord Shiva's example. Now, Lord Shiva got so embarrassed in the Mohini Murthy pastime, and Mohini Murthy, he asked the Lord to show him the form of Mohini Murthy, and he was with his disciples. And you know what happened, right? He chased after Mohini Murthy and it was very embarrassing what happened. And in front of all his disciples, Lord Shiva lost control. So now what do you think at the end of it would happen? If you or me were to go through a social embarrassment, we start wallowing in guilt and self-pity, right? But what did Lord Shiva do? That is amazing. Lord Shiva glorified Krishna. He said, my dear Lord, this is amazing. You are so amazing. This is an example of acceptance. Rather than, we generally wallow in self-pity. We condemn ourselves. So acceptance means not judging yourself and not beating yourself, but rather coming to peace with who you are. I gave the quote. I said quite a few things on acceptance in the class. So I would like to now say, I don't want to repeat what I spoke in the class, but I would like to now say that, you know, just like a crow is black, a swan is white. There is a story in the Itopadesha that the crow went to the swan and said, I'm a black colored boring bird, you are swan, you are so beautiful, I want to be like you. The swan said, oh, I'm simply bland white. The parrot is beautiful because he has a beak, red beak, and he's so nice. So then the crow went to the parrot and the parrot said, I'm nothing. The peacock is so beautiful when it dances. It is so nice. The hunters want to, you know, everyone wants to keep the peacock. So then he went to the peacock said, what is the use? You know, the hunters poach me, I'm put in a zoo, I have no freedom. Actually, you know, I really want to be like the crow. I can fly anywhere. So the crow's journey was, you know, he went everywhere. Ultimately, he realized that, you know, he's only, the way he is, he's best. What the water can do, petrol can't. But petrol has its own uses. What an ant can do, a tree can do is different. So everybody has been made uniquely. So when we come to terms with who we are, when we accept our unique place in this creation, in Lord's creation, in this cosmos, that is called acceptance. And from that space of acceptance, then we can offer our best to Krishna. So that is an example of acceptance. Acceptance is a very important principle. If we are always criticizing, sometimes I've seen devotees say that, you know, we have to, you know, Kaviraj Goswami said, I'm a worm in the stool. So we sometimes criticize ourselves. I am fallen. We don't realize that it is very dangerous. Just like we cannot imitate the gopi's love for Krishna, similarly, we cannot imitate the Goswami's lamentation about their bhakti, lack of bhakti, because that is at a different level. So we cannot imitate that. They are having deep experiences of affection for Krishna. And from that space, when they criticize themselves, they're not in control. They're not criticizing as a sadhana. They're criticizing because it is coming out of love. When we criticize, we consciously criticize. And when we consciously criticize, we are sending messages to our subconscious mind and we actually make it a reality. So there is a difference between what happens because of bhakti and what we do to get bhakti. So when pure devotees cry and criticize themselves, that is coming out of them without their control. So we cannot imitate that. We cannot imitate, you know, it is like to give a very mundane example, a husband and a wife, they love each other very much. And they may talk certain things in the private bedroom. You know, the husband may cry and they may reaffirm their love and they may go through a lot of emotional exchanges, intense exchanges, right? Now, but in social life, in public life, it is different. Now, when pure devotees, when we read about their ecstasies and crying, it is like their private bedroom time is being made public to us. What they experience with Krishna in their private moments is revealed to us. So we can't make a system out of that. We can't start crying and beating our heads and condemning ourselves. If you are feeling deeply, our first goal is to feel loved by Krishna. And you will feel loved by Krishna when you first have acceptance. Imagine you're on a date, okay? Sorry, a mundane example again. You're going on a date with a girl or a boy, and first time you are going and you want to marry that person, and it's like, you know, an alliance has been fixed, or, you know, you have been told to see the relationship if it works. So when you meet, you don't start condemning and beating yourself because sambandha has not been established. You put your best foot forward. You present yourself all the good qualities. You don't lie, but you're honest, but you speak and you present in a space of acceptance and confidence. Similarly, our sambandha, our relationship with Krishna has not yet been established. So sambandha jnana, at the level of sambandha, we need to be honest with Krishna, not that we lie to Krishna. At the same time, we can't condemn ourselves because we are not fallen. A soul is so special. We are all Krishna's children. So we need to be in that space. Remember, we are qualitatively one with Krishna. We focus so much on quantitative difference all the time that we live in duality. Focusing on quantitative difference all the time leads to duality. We live in fear. When there is duality, Bhagavatam says, Bhayam dutiya binivishatasya disha dapetasya viparyayo smriti. We'll always live in fear. Eating, sleeping, meditating, fearing. This is because of duality. And duality is coming because of too much focus on quantitative difference with Krishna. Which is good. We are quantitatively different. We are small. But we are qualitatively one with Krishna. We are Satchidananda. So we need to accept ourselves. Once we accept ourselves, then we come in front of Krishna. Krishna, I love you. Krishna, but you know, I'm not so advanced. I wish I was, but Krishna, I accept myself. Please accept me the way I am. Krishna becomes happy with our honest acceptance of who we are, because we are trying to establish a relationship with Krishna. And once that relationship intensifies, once you experience emotions for Krishna, and then you will naturally say, Krishna, I'm fallen, I'm a pig, I'm a worm in the stool, I'm a dog. That's okay. That's between you and Krishna. Those are healthy emotional exchanges. But don't make it like a sadhana. So therefore, acceptance is very important. Acceptance is a platform. I hope I've answered your question. So this is a very, very good question answer session. Thank you. I wish I could spend more time here. But I need to, I see Vivek Prabhu is saying, I have another question. Is the time left? I'm really sorry, Prabhu. But I'm very happy. I want to once again sincerely express my gratitude to all the devotees who are part of Bhakti Sangha. And especially my sincere gratitude to Shyamagauri Mataji for inviting me. She's been asking me since March, April, I think. And I've been postponing it because of so many other commitments. But I'm grateful that we could at last meet, better late than never. I'm very grateful for giving an opportunity to serve all of you today on this most auspicious disappearance of Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Once again, my sincere gratitude to all of you. And thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very beautiful class. Thank you so much. We are very grateful to you. We will look forward for your association in future, Prabhu. I would like to offer my obeisances. Vansha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhya. Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grace Project Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very nice class.